And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from coachingfromabroad.com, Erica Latham.
Kelly!
It's so good to be back.
We're back.
What's been going on since we've been gone?
Oh, you know, just like COVID and like a war.
Global pandemic.
Hot girl winter. It's just hot girl winter. I've missed you.
And I've missed you and our listeners, and it is so good to be back.
I'm pumped. I mean, we chat as friends all the time, but there's just something about being behind this little microphone, you know?
I know.
Chatting with my girl.
I know. It feels oh so good, especially at the end of what has felt like maybe the longest winter of all time.
I'm not crazy, right? I mean, I might be, but it really has felt... for some reason, twice as long as last winter. And last winter was supposed to be the scarier winter or something. I don't know. What's going on with that?
I know. I feel like everybody I talk to, it's never been more culturally acceptable to ask, hey, how you doing? And someone to say, you know.
I know. I'm kind of
all right, hanging in there, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe this is just the New England states because winter is long and harsh at times and cold and icy. I don't know. So I don't know if this is everywhere or if everybody's feeling that, but it's just, you know, it's been a long winter. So it's nice to see some birds hopping around out there. No more snow. I'm seeing like a lot of dog poop in the yard though. Andy's got his work cut out for him this weekend.
Oh, that saint.
I know.
It has been a long winter. I feel like everybody I talk to is just feeling blah, or they're having like thoughts that they hadn't ever thought that they would have, or just, I don't know, feeling weird.
Yes. You know, so this really does lead me straight into a listener question about intrusive thoughts, yes. Particularly because I know intrusive thoughts have been at an all-time high for many of us during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could it not be? There's actually a great article in BBC about, it was titled like, why do COVID tests make us sick? And it was talking about the nocebo effect, right? Like how so many of us that haven't struggled with health anxiety are getting sensitized or distracted by that sniffle or that lump or that, and again, not that we shouldn't get these things checked out, but how they're becoming more and more. Yeah, many of us are becoming more and more sensitized during the midst of a pandemic. And again, part of that is just a heightened awareness, which is natural, right? It's just like that check-in, like, am I healthy? Am I okay? All right, we can continue on. But yeah, I thought this was a really great question just based on where we are in the world. I thought it was a good one to kind of dive back in with.
Well, lay it on me, girl. Don't hold out.
I don't want to hold you guys in suspension too long here. Suspense. Oh God, I'm messing up my words already.
I've missed you.
I'm messing up my words already. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna read our wonderful listener's question verbatim here. So our wonderful listener writes, I've always been a person who asks why for everything and liked this part of me being curious. However, when it comes to intrusive thoughts, it obviously makes it worse. How do I break or stop this thinking style when it comes to intrusive thoughts? Also, it seems once I've conquered one intrusive thought, another seems to pop, and here it is. Why is that?
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole.
It's like whack-a-mole. It's like the least fun game of whack-a-mole.
Can you, before you answer this, wait, Wait, is that the end of the question?
That is the end of the question.
I don't have time for full words anymore. It's just question. Okay. Before you, and by the way, I didn't know this question before we started, but can you, because I work with folks that were, that have intrusive thoughts all the time, can you just very quickly talk about, just to remind us, because we've talked about intrusive thoughts, but what is an intrusive thought? Yes. Is there like a spectrum of intrusive thoughts?
Exactly. So that's kind of what I wanted to start with. Like, let's define an intrusive thought, right? Because it's estimated that like 95 to 98% of the population has intrusive thoughts. So an intrusive thought is a disturbing thought that pops into our mind unbidden. We didn't call it there. It just kind of feels like it pops out of nowhere, leaving us feeling uneasy, distressed, anxious, agitated, and or afraid. And part of the reason intrusive thoughts are disturbing is because they're different from our typical thoughts, and they're different from our values. So they might be uncharacteristically dark, scary, violent, and on top of that, they tend to be repetitive.
That's the kicker.
Yeah, that is the kicker. And, you know, we all have, I can't stress this enough, and I shared an Instagram post actually, today about it.
Wait
about
a minute. This is the bigger news than this question. You're on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram and I know how to.
And you know how, yeah, you know how
to work it mostly.
You are the queen of Instagram these days. You are doing those stories. You're tagging people.
I mean, you had to tell me, Kelly, you don't have to take a screenshot. You could just share these posts. I'm like, oh my God, what is this magic? So,
guys, our little Kelly's grown up. She would take a little screenshot, save it into her photos, go back into Instagram,
upload it in a post or a story. And it's
our little baby's growing up.
I know. And now I'm like, oh, there's a little arrow that looks like a share button. That's fantastic.
That's the extent of my Instagram knowledge. Anyway, so on Instagram today, you shared intrusive thoughts, something.
Intrusive thoughts that I thought the big takeaway was great in that we all have intrusive thoughts, period. Mm. It is part of being a human. And what I really liked about the post from a psychologist, I can't remember her name right now, but it is a sign of a healthy, functioning brain. Not this only is, the part, is it human, it's normal.
We need to spend a second on that.
Yeah.
Because no one believes me.
Yeah, no one. Well, why would we take that at face value? Because the nature of intrusive thoughts are that they do deviate from our typical values, our typical thoughts, the things we care about. Mm-hmm. They seem to challenge kind of who we are as humans, right?
Yeah.
And I wanna share some of our intrusive thoughts before we sort of get into the nature of intrusive thoughts, because we all have them. And I think an important piece of this is sharing our experience, right? So my intrusive thoughts have tended, not always, but my intrusive thoughts have tended to be around health, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And again, other ones will come up at times, but like, for me, you know, we all have our soup du jour. Like, my sticky intrusive thoughts tend to be around health.
I wasn't ready for soup du jour. Not ready for soup du jour.
Soup du jour.
What's the soup of the day, Flo? What's the soup du jour? It's the
soup. My French is impeccable.
I tell you what. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. You distracted me with your French.
My French. The love language. The romance language. Are you starry-eyed? And
we are professional.
We are professional people. So we are. Right, we are.
So health. I would say mine 1,000% is as if I had to pick a flavor, but to be devil's advocate, because I work with so many folks, especially new moms that have this. Can I pick a different one just to have it?
Yes.
Harming my kids.
Oh, so common. Harming my
kids. I can't.
Harming my spouse. Harming myself, right?
Yes.
Like those are really common. Like, that's why I said, you know, they can be like, they can feel violent. You know, I remember when my kids were first born, if I was feeling really edgy, if I saw my knife in the kitchen, it would make me feel like uncomfortable. You know, it would make me feel like, oh, don't look at that. Don't look at that.
And
think about that knife. Don't even. And it's like, what?
I find that interesting because that's intrusive thoughts are all of our bag, if you will. But those, that flavor of intrusive thoughts wasn't yours, and it still popped up at the time.
Exactly. That's not the one that really grabbed me because, again, mm-hmm. not my soup du jour. and I kind of, I already had an understanding of yeah. the nature of intrusive thoughts, and I knew they're incredibly common during big hormonal shifts, whether it's, you know, like puberty or postpartum or menopause, like when there's big hormonal shifts like that or big biological shifts. Like I kind of already knew it. So for me, there was that comfort of knowledge and awareness. But I will say, you know, Erica, you and I were both recently in Disney World. We almost overlapped, right?
We were days apart.
Days apart. You got to go to Harry Potter World. We just stayed in Disney World, but
I did. But we went in the height of the end of this latest Omicron
surge.
Yeah.
Yes. So this recent trip to Disney, I know we were kind of texting and I was like, was this trip all rainbows and kittens for you? And you're like, no. And I'm like, whew, okay. Because, you know, Disney World was by far the most people I've been around
since
the start of COVID.
Shoulder to shoulder people.
Like, oh my God, this one woman was coughing everywhere. I was like, well, now I've got it. I've got it. And you know, I definitely had an uptick in thoughts like, is this just a cold? Is this something more serious? Am I going to be the incredibly rare 35-year-old that is vaccinated, boosted, but still going to die from COVID? Will my kids even remember me when I'm gone? 4-year-old, right? That's old enough to remember me.
And are they four?
I know. They just turned four.
We been?
I know. So it escalated, right? Like those intrusive thoughts can kind of escalate quickly. And before I knew it, like I had this really disturbing, my intrusive thoughts for some people, it comes up as like a dialogue or words. Mine like can tend to be more like images, right? Or emotional flashes. And that's normal too. You know, it just kind of depends how our brains work. But for me, it was like a very visual flash of me on a ventilator by myself because visitors aren't allowed in. I'm dying alone. Like it just escalated quickly, right? And I'm like, I don't want to die at this hospital nearby nicknamed Croak Hill. That doesn't sound promising.
Oh, lovely.
You know, like I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die at a place named Croak Hill. It's going to be bad. The outlook's grim.
Which, by the way, no matter how careful either one of us had been, I mean, I don't think crowds make either one of us like super pumped in general, but to go two whole years, today we're recording this on March 11th, so this might not come out for a while, but it is exactly 2 years to the day.
Is that today. All it's been? You
know, only 250 years. 250 emotional years, but 2 years to the day that the United States at least declared a pandemic. So 2 years of not seeing crowds. I mean, where was your brain supposed to go?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Again, I think what we don't realize about intrusive thoughts are that all of our sort of experiences, right? Like our cognitive and emotional experiences do serve a purpose. Like, and the pandemic's a good example that a certain degree of hypervigilance, right? Like doing the things we can to keep ourselves safe and healthy. And again, we've come a long way in 2 years. We have vaccines. We are better able to treat COVID. Like being on a ventilator is no longer, it's the exception. You know, we've come a really long way, but still, of course, in the midst of a pandemic, pestilence, like it's going to be, our brains are going to be in, a more aware, a more hypervigilant state. And there is, when there is a threat, there's benefit to that. At times, in certain scenarios, there's a benefit to having a degree of hypervigilance that's going to allow us to do the things we can to be safe and ensure survival. And I think it's easy to forget, like getting caught in intrusive thoughts is easy for most of us, whether we've struggled with anxiety or not, because intrusive thoughts are by nature distressing. So we tend to put in a lot of effort If we don't really understand the nature of them, we tend to put in a lot of effort ignoring the intrusive thoughts, arguing with them. My favorite is trying to rationalize them, right? Like if we just don't know how benign and common and actually what an indicator intrusive thoughts are of like a healthy functioning brain, we're going to put in a lot of effort to get rid of them one way or another. Yeah.
Why would you not? I mean, this can't be the person I am, I think is
exactly. It feels what like I hear a lot. Right. It feels like a direct conflict with who we are as people. And all we're trying to do is reconcile that conflict. Like,
right. Like I can't have another personality. What if it just unravels before me?
Exactly. And you know, it's all this effort and attention innocently creates this habitual state of hypervigilance where we're stuck in the position of constantly scanning our thoughts. And that's why, wonderful listener, you feel like you've conquered, quote unquote, one intrusive thought. It's simply on to the next because your brain is in the habit of being in that on, quote unquote, on position, right? Mm-hmm.
It's all about habits.
And I think we all wish this was a battle won by conquest, but as our listener pointed out, trying to conquer her intrusive thoughts isn't bringing true relief. But lucky for us, we can retrain and rewire our brain to drop the hypervigilance habit. At least, again, in the middle of a pandemic, some hypervigilance is helpful, right? Or depending on what the situation is, sometimes a degree of hypervigilance is helpful. But we are able to, again, retrain, rewire. We talk about neuroplasticity all the time to at least drop that hypervigilance habit down a couple pegs so that it's serving us but not overwhelming us.
Okay. Tell me more.
Do you want to do a simple practice? Sure. Erica and listeners out there, I'm rubbing my hands together like a mastermind. I don't know why. Like like an evil mastermind. Ooh, how I've missed these exercises.
This is people think I'm kidding when I say I have no idea. You texted me the most you've ever texted me in the 3,000 years we've been doing this. I asked, okay, what are we talking about? You did tell me intrusive thoughts.
I did.
And then I said something vague and then didn't say anything else. And then you moved on to like, all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. So I have no idea what's about to happen. And I've missed it.
Oh, don't you just want me to keep you on your toes? Doesn't that just feel good in your body?
I feel good. I feel prepared.
I feel super confident.
I feel confident and competent. Lay it on me. Soup du jour me, girl.
Soup du jour. It's clam chowder.
Gross. All right.
Live in New England. Clam chowder. Yum. Okay. So here's a simple practice. Here's a simple practice that we can do to retrain and rewire our brain to drop that hypervigilant habit a little bit. And again, there's so many different ways to practice this, but one simple practice is the next time you notice that you're caught up in intrusive thoughts, are you able to ask yourself two questions? And the first one is, what am I looking to gain when I'm ignoring or engaging in these intrusive thoughts?
Okay. Do you want me to answer?
I do want you to answer. If you go first. You go first, girl.
So when back in my heyday of having like what's felt like insurmountable health anxiety, I wanted to gain, I think what I wanted to gain was feeling peace in my body. Like feeling not sensitized.
Exactly.
If I'm reflecting, that's what. Yesterday was my paniciversary, by the way.
Oh, how many? God.
Thank you.
How many years has
it? 7 years. Seven years young.
7 years ago, you were my client. It doesn't feel that long ago.
I know. But yeah, I think if I had to at that moment in time, I know differently now, but all I wanted was to feel calm, like I'm air quoting.
Yeah. And that's for me, when I'm all caught up in intrusive thoughts, I'm trying to gain a sense of peace and safety, albeit in the past, not always in the most effective way, right? Like I was trying to find that peace and safety in my body by trying to rationalize away.
Yeah, like peace
the
of mind.
Intrusive thoughts, right? Yeah. Like I was trying to accomplish that peace of mind.
Yeah.
In a way that just wasn't like uber effective for me.
Right.
And like our listener said, like so often trying to sort of conquer, rationalize, or think through the thoughts, like she said, it's not bringing her. I think she kind of basically said it without saying the word peace. Like she's like, it's not bringing her the peace she would like. And yeah. As humans, we all value being in that sort of state, right? Of peace and safety, not necessarily super happy, but contentedness, right? Like that's a space many of us are looking to be in. So again, asking ourselves, what am I looking to gain when I'm ignoring or, you know, engaging in like trying to rationalize or logic away these intrusive thoughts? And the second question is, what fosters what you're trying to gain? So for me, I can foster peace and safety through like a walk in the woods, playing with my kids. Like I love game night with friends or ultimate frisbee. And these things, they don't necessarily eliminate the intrusive thoughts off the bat, but they often bring me a more lasting and sustainable peace. While, like we said, trying to logic my way out of intrusive thoughts almost never brings me peace. And, you know, if it did, it was incredibly short-lived. Yeah. You, Erica, what fosters what you're trying to gain?
I think that, you know, the whole test is like pressing on a bruise sort of thing where, you know, that first step of like, what am I trying to get? And what I think the way I went about it was, I'm going to keep scanning until I desensitize this, you know, until I feel better.
And isn't it such a paradox that the more we scan, the more sensitized
I remember working with you and the folks I work with now, we talk about this a lot where it's like, well, how do I stop pressing on the bruise? And exactly what you're saying, the number two of this is like, how can you get to where you want to be, even if you're uncomfortable in the moment? And that's exactly what I did. I did the things you did. I joined a woman's group. I read a lot more. I stopped distracting myself on my phone. I learned I like to read. I started watching shows with friends one night a week, and it's more about hanging with them than it is, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and the pandemic was hard for this. You know, the connection with people obviously has been really hard. The isolation has been really tough, even if we didn't feel it at first. I think a lot of us are feeling it now.
Because connection is such a sense of safety for our nervous system.
Yeah.
Like that lack of connection without – we as animals and humans, we co-regulate through connection with people. Like we co-regulate our nervous system. We get a lot of sort of that calmness and peace and sense of safety through being with others. We feel safe or heard or seen by. So it's like to lose that for so long, to miss out on it, to like have it take it away and kind of being what's on this constantly changing merry-go-round, you know, it's hard.
You said something awesome in the little you did say in our text. and I don't want to like step on your spiel, but you said something that made me really think yesterday, which is exactly the 24 hours I asked to know about what we were talking about. You said, you know, alluding to adding something rather than taking something away. And that really kind of reminded me of my process of like, oh yeah, it wasn't about, I had tried so hard, like, okay, I'm going to take away caffeine. I'm going to take away, you know, alcohol. I'm going to take away being so busy, which did help, by the way. But I'm going to take things away until I don't have a life. And I think that's where we get stuck. And really, it was adding things. It was adding connection. It was adding rest, like real honest to God rest, not just like sitting around. But, you know, rest could look like a kayak ride, kayak ride. That's what I just said. That's how many sports I do. I'm going to ride in that kayak.
Ride.
Like I'm with a parasol and somebody's like kayaking me around a small Victorian lake.
This reminds me of the Gilded Age. I don't know if
Kelly, did you know the Gilded Age, the show on HBO, was filmed in Troy, New York?
Oh my God, I'm coming
to Troy. My little town where DeFazio's is. It was filmed right here. Yeah, I'm going to send you screenshots of all the little... the whole thing was filmed here. Pretty cool. Oh. They shut down the streets. It was awesome.
You just bumped Troy to my top three places
It's a cool little town, and they left up some of the stuff. It's pretty cool.
Oh my God. Anywho. It's really like getting my fix for period dramas. Just move here. Yeah, I know. I miss Downton Abbey so much. You know, it's
the same guy. It's like the Downton Abbey prequel without it being really a prequel. Anyway, do you know who the main character is? The blonde one? It's Meryl Streep's daughter.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, why does she look so familiar?
Because Meryl Streep's daughter.
It's so good. Guys, watch. I don't know what it is, but again, here's something
it's
for
just
me.
When
I'm feeling like burnt out or stretched, or it's been like a hard day with the kids for whatever reason, period dramas, pieces like Downton Abbey, like now Gilded Age, it's like they're just engaging enough, but they don't like tax my nervous system. It's not like it's stressing me out. I find it so settling.
There's enough drama.
Just enough drama.
Yeah. But this is the adding things thing.
Adding.
Where it's like, okay, I know I need to add rest and we aren't fans of distraction for distraction's sake, but what if it's, you know.
Refocusing. It's okay to refocus. Like that goes a long way with intrusive thoughts. Even if we just, again, they don't fall away right away. And like to sort of add to the subtraction addition game, like so often, you know, like even these two questions I shared, right? Like we may answer them with the intent of subtracting the intrusive thoughts. Like, okay, I'm going to do this exercise. I'm going to answer these two questions. And at the end of it, I want my intrusive thoughts to be gone. And I get that because they're by nature. Like they're called intrusive because they're distressing. If they were not distressing, they would just be called thoughts. Right. So I get that, you know, going into this exercise or any exercise to rewire the brain and our habits, like we might innocently go in with it with the intention, like I'm doing this exercise and now my intrusive thoughts are gone. But instead of subtracting the intrusive thoughts, like you said, Erica, it's if we can make it more about adding more of what we're looking for to the equation so that the picture gets so big and filled with our values, strengths, joys, the things that support us, that the intrusive thoughts, become a smaller and smaller part of the picture. So small, eventually they get overlooked. So like, again, refocusing is a really helpful technique when we're having intrusive thoughts, like taking a moment to acknowledge them and tend to ourselves and refocus on something that's going to support us and adding support to the picture. And again, intrusive thoughts don't fall away right away. They take time.
It takes time.
Once we get caught in that habit, like it takes time of that refocusing towards things that bring importance and support and safety and value to our life.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're focusing on bringing these things in, right, it's not like rocket science. These things that are meaningful to us just get sort of more and more of the attention and focus. So they're just what gets reinforced. Same as how the intrusive thoughts became reinforced, because initially we give them so much innocently attention and focus because it's like they're so distressing, like clearly we need to jump into action and do something about it. Right? That's how it feels.
And we can't forget that distressing thoughts or anxious thoughts of any kind, I guess, are stickier.
Of course.
You know, so they'll get more attention than thoughts.
Right. Like our innate negativity bias. So it's
it's
a little bit of effort, right? And sort of counteracting that very sticky innate negativity bias. We all have it. We all want to pay attention to many of us sort of focus on, right? And this is sort of where the realm of coaching comes in. So many of us want to focus on like what's the problem, what's not going well, and we don't really register what we're really good at, what's, you know, what in our life is going on day to day with like ease and little effort. Like we don't tend to register what's going well and what we're good at. And, cause often so many things are kind of just going about their business day to day, like relatively effortlessly. And we don't get a chance to register it. So this is just a chance to register the things and add the things that bring support, all the things we want to feel, right? Support, safety, things we value.
What, I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
Ooh. Oh, I am.
So you mentioned, you know, you went to Disney. It was challenging for any travels, challenging, especially when you have two ginger-haired babies.
Oh, my goodness.
You have so many babies. What did you add when things felt tough?
So something that was really important to me is, you know, we were, like a lot of people that go to Disney, it can be a bit like hectic, like, all right, we're crushing this park this day. We're getting there at 7:30. It can feel like it can feel really full and busy, and it did. And smack dab in the middle, I added rest. I took a pool morning because it was like 85 degrees. And my husband was like, I'll just take them to Hollywood Studios. There's not much we want to do there. You know, he's like, exactly. He's like, I'll take this time. And then I gave him time when we went down to the pool, the kids and I. So we sort of incorporated, I mean, he felt taxed at times too. Like Disney World with 2 4-year-olds is, it was really fun. When I look back on it, I feel, I really just feel positive emotions, which I think is a pretty good thing. And part of that is I brought in that support. So I incorporated that rest morning. I was by the pool reading my book and I went swimming and, you know, got some vitamin D and it felt really good after a long winter. And I made sure to add in, I would do like 5-minute like meditation mindfulness breaks just to sort of soothe my nervous system from all the input that was coming in. Like Disney's really exciting, but it's a lot of stimulus, right? Again,
oh my
kids, the excitement, like I knew I just needed a couple built-in breaks where I could like close my eyes, do a couple of sighs or exhales, not even necessarily deep breathing. And that really helped. And again, adding in an early bedtime. Like I went to bed earlier than I would. I was like, my kids are asleep. They're going to get up early. I'll go to sleep, you know? And probably I would say the last thing I added in was not having too much of an agenda, like going with the flow, not fighting. You know, there was one day my kids were just, oh my God, they looked drunk. They were so tired. So I was like, I think it's time. Do you want to go back to the hotel and go swimming? You know, and they're like, yes, God, please.
And that teaches them, like, you don't need to pound through your exhaustion. That is okay.
To your body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My parents would have
breaking cycles.
Yeah, I think about when I went to Disney, they're like, we're going for 9 hours and guess what? You're walking the whole way. Yeah. And like, but
we're fine. We're fine. We are not like, we're well adjusted now. We're okay.
Yeah.
But oh my God.
It's habit, right? It's like, I want my kids. Part of the reason anxiety punched me in the throat, you know, at 22 was because I just always kept pushing. I didn't know I had a body to listen to be honest.
Amen. Like, you're preaching the song of my people. Yes.
So like when I got hit with anxiety, I'm like, well, this is clearly a heart attack. I don't know what else this could be. And it's like, well, your body trying to be loud enough, right? So that I could finally listen. So that's something important to me. I want to teach my kids, right? To listen to their bodies. Like if they need rest, if they're that tired, listen to your body and take rest in some way, some form, you know, when you can.
Yep. I dig it, girl.
What about you? What did you add?
I was worried. I didn't listen to a word you said because I was thinking the whole time.
Oh, you knew.
Now I have no idea what did I add? I had COVID last year. I got the Romero. I was the Rona Lisa. I think we all know that, but, I've since been vaccinated and boosted and all the stuff. And I didn't want to get sick and I didn't want to give it to anybody. I think that's been my bigger thing rather than me getting it. But it still was the flight and the harriedness of getting to the hotel and the, you know, so I added an extra day. I know that's going to sound like wildly, you know,
It calms the itinerary though, doesn't it? Like,
it wasn't intentional. We were getting a big ice storm and this sounds very privileged and I'm not, but my girlfriend and we were able to find a good deal and we decided that we were just going to extend our budget, which has been tough, but we went a little early and we were able to sit by a pool with a lazy river, which we, you know, it's not something we normally would be able to afford. And it's not necessarily something everybody's able to do, but that being able to put my face into the sun kind of thing and read a little bit of a book. And even at one point, something I added, I knew that the rest of the vacation was going to be pretty active. I intentionally didn't do anything. Like, I intentionally didn't read or check my phone. I just sort of sat and watched kids play and just sort of sat and really tried to feel my body in this little beach chair and enjoy like the warmth of the water and things that I don't think either one of us practice the things we preach a lot. I think coaching has been invaluable to both of us because we get to practice with our clients, you know.
It's true. It means it's on my radar, you know. It keeps it up right in the forefront of awareness, and it just makes me more likely to sort of practice what I preach, which is important because I want to understand you know, how challenging it can be for my clients, right? Like when they're trying something new or incorporating something new, I know, right? I want to understand how challenging that can be, you know?
Yeah, we really know. We know. But yeah, I think the size or what we can perceive to be the size of these intrusive thoughts or the weightiness of them or the terror that they seem to induce seems so big that small changes don't seem to add up to a solution, but it's that simple and complex at the same time.
Well, it's funny you say that because many days, like, I tend to be very I could be very repetitive in nature. Like I could check my work email 20 times before I know I'm doing it. And the other day I sort of recognized like I was wanting to like keep checking it because I was waiting for something. And it's like, Kelly, it's the small things that matter. So even doing something small, like, all right, you know, I've checked it this afternoon. I don't need to check it again until tomorrow morning. And like doing that one small thing helps this like rutted brain. And it really is the small, consistent actions, right?
Yeah.
Like that add up
to
change. That's, I think change is so hard for many of us to stick to because we all kind of want it up front. I do. I don't want to wait for change, you know, and we don't realize that the way change works is it is these sort of small, consistent, consecutive actions that add up to the change, you know, and it doesn't take as long as we fear, but it's definitely not as quick as any of us would like.
I know, girl. Well, happy almost springish.
Almost springish. Yep. We have daylight savings. You know, again, we said it's March 11th. So by the time this comes out, daylight savings would have happened. But by the time this comes out, it will be spring.
It will. And hopefully
it will be spring. So
when you're listening to this, it's nice. And if you're in the other hemisphere, Merry Christmas.
Christmas just happens when it's cold, right?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, Christmas happens when it's snowing in upstate New York. That's my very small world view.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So this is for real. Like we're going to be really doing this. You're back.
Yeah.
You're coaching.
Yeah.
You're podcasting.
Yep. I am back and we'll be, you know, we're here with our podcast. We'll probably take, you know, a short break one or two times a year, like in the summer and then around the holidays, like, you know, some scheduled breaks. We'll let you know how long we're gone and when we're coming back. But otherwise we are consistently back and it's good to be back.
And we're going to be talking about way more stuff than we used to.
Yeah. Right? All sorts of stuff. I already have so many and so much.
It's like
stuff
anxiety
to talk about.
Plus.
Yeah. And we have like some really great guests in the lineup too. And, you know, just thinking outside the box a little bit as well.
Got to keep it fresh, girl.
Got to keep it fresh.
All right. Well.
All right. Well, that is our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for one-on-one coaching or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a discount on your first coaching package there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.